Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. Tomorrow, the Vermont Bar Association is sponsoring a special conference in Montpelier to examine how a lack of civility in politics is affecting our political system. Jim Leach is the keynote speaker. He's got an impressive resume to discuss this issue. He was a member of Congress from a district in Iowa for 30 years. During that time, he was chairman of the House Banking Committee. And just recently, he stepped down as the chairman of the National Endowment for the Humanities. During his tenure with this group, he visited every state in the country on what he called his, quote, civility tour to discuss this issue with thousands of citizens at the local level. Jim Leach, welcome to Vermont Edition. It's great to have you here.
Well, good to be with you, Bob.
So when we think about the lack of civility in political discourse these days, I think a lot of people think of Congress right off the bat. You served in the U.S. House from 1977 to 2007. Were things really that much different, particularly in the first part of your congressional career?
Well, they were different. Frankly, this isn't the very worst period in American history. That honor probably goes to the decade preceding the Civil War. And there are some episodes, frankly, in the second decade of our history, particularly from about 1800 to 1810, where uncivil rhetoric really mushroomed. But there has been a change in the last generation that is significant because it's so unnecessary. And the great aspect that stands out to me is that American politics has moved in the direction of lack of respect for the opposition to such an extent that minority political parties have come to tend to any success of the majority party or the government in power redounds to their disadvantage, and so they simply oppose everything and have a tendency to make stark differentiations when basically there's a role for alternatives, there's a role for disagreement, there's a role also for coming together. And this ability to come together has really disappeared.
And we should be very clear, you're not talking about a system where everybody agrees with one another or exhibits good manners. You're concerned about the lack of respect that people have with individuals who may have very different points of view?
That's correct. Actually, when you think about it, argumentation is a social good. I mean, if you don't have argumentation, that is the expressing of differences of judgments, there's a tendency to dogmatism in life. There's also a tendency even to tyranny. And so you want to have healthy, vibrant argumentation and vibrant differences of views expressed. When you think about civility, it's really all about whether you respect the opposing view, whether you respect the person expressing the opposing view, and whether or not there's a possibility that you can't find some common ground on some aspects of almost every argument, whether you have a disposition to try to seek that. And frankly, that can apply in husband-wife relations and family relations and community relations. But it's also incredibly important in a civil dialogue that relates to governing kinds of decisions. And if you think of the basic philosophy, some of which stem from New England, about all men being created equal, and if that's the case, it should follow that everybody has something to learn from somebody else, and most of all has an obligation to at least encompass other people's perspectives in a respectful way.
So how do we get to this point where the idea of political compromise has such a negative connotation that if you've got one point of view and I might have a different point of view and we join together in Congress and perhaps work on a solution that's not 100% for either one of us, but still moves the issue forward, how did we get to this point where this is viewed as such a negative thing?
Well, that's a great question for the American public to think through. Now, part of the answer relates to the polarization in the parties, and I would suggest the small participation in primaries is also a fundamental aspect to this, and let me explain what I mean. If only 4 or 5% of the American people participate in a legislative primary, that means that a very small percentage control who the party nominates and what direction parties should take. And when you get small percentages of people with very divisively held views controlling the political parties, you have a circumstance that whoever comes out of a primary is likely to be indebted to them. And if they happen to be elected, those people know that if they somehow differ from the so-called base, they will find a very, very a strong primary opponent who will be given in the modern world access to a great deal of money and access to an organizational structure that will tend to not support someone who's considered somewhere within the great spectrum of the American center.
And this becomes a problem also because you have the sense that many members of Congress view survival in office as being more important than actually governing?
Well, no one in office would say that, but they certainly not infrequently act that way. In the old world of American politics, the compromise was considered the art of politics. In the new world, anyone who compromises jeopardizes their personal political future. And that is a very difficult circumstance to have developed to make governance work. And what we're really wanting in this country is mutual respect and government that works, recognizing that no government will ever reflect all of our views at any moment in time. In fact, the more complicated a society, the more political issues there become, and the more political issues there become, it's inconceivable that one political party or one set of leaders can represent anybody's view. And so there is, in my view, no American citizen that can say that there isn't something Republican that they support and something Democratic that they support, even though they may be majority Republican or majority Democrat.
So if our country continues down this path that it's on right now of a lack of civility in politics, are there some dangers in your mind to our political system?
Well, I think politics is something that we as a society have to watch very carefully. And my own view is when we see wise and thoughtful things happening, we should give them a great deal of push and benefit of the doubt. When we see less than perfect things happening, we should become quite concerned and wonder how you affect and want to change that system. And I happen to think some of the less perfect things have been happening in recent years, and we ought to be thinking of ways that might make the system a bit better.
What comes to mind, because as you go around talking to various groups about this issue, I'm sure people are saying to you, what can be done to make it better?
Well, there are a number of things. Part of them relate to participation. I personally think that all American citizens ought to be encouraged to participate in primaries as well as general elections. We find ourselves slipping in the percentage of people that vote in general elections, but it's really truly troublesome to see what small percentage participate in primaries. And I think we have to elevate the primary to greater importance. I also think that the money issue in politics has become quite mischievous and works against the common good. We ought to be thinking in terms of serious campaign reform, possibly matching small contributions with government funds. But we also ought to be thinking about whether the institution we usually rely on to balance things out, which is the court system, has maybe erred rather grievously in its Citizens United ruling 3 years ago, in which it has basically encouraged powerful corporate interests to come into the political process with a lot of money, some of which is of unknown origin, all of which is more likely to be used in a divisive way. And I personally think it's a ruling that ought to be overturned.
It's been a fascinating discussion. Former Congressman Jim Leach will be delivering the keynote address tomorrow morning at a special conference in Montpelier, and that conference is open to the public. Jim Leach, many thanks for being on the program.
Well, pleased to be with you, Bob.